Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
So thankful for your presence tonight and to come and for us to be able to share with you a little bit about our trip to Peru a few months ago. As we start, so I just want to say something that's kind of been on my heart today, just the thought of something I think you need to know, and that is just what an encouraging congregation this is. And it's just amazing to me to see every single day just the constant encouragement that you get. One of those guys that encouraged me a lot is Ken Wiles, and I appreciate what he does in our song service. And it was interesting to me this morning before I come up to preach, I don't know if you guys caught this, but he led Ready to Suffer before I walked up here. And I've heard stories of that happening, but I've never actually witnessed it and been a part of it. So I thought that was interesting. I appreciate that, Ken, very much. Hopefully it wasn't too much suffering. Love Ken and love the time and effort he puts into leading our singing. Several things that we want to share with you tonight, just about our trip. And I'm not going to talk very long. I'm going to let some of these young men come up, and then Jonathan will conclude our time together tonight. But we had several opportunities in Peru while we were there this time, and one of those, a very unique opportunity. As always, we had the chance to evangelize, and we did some door knocking while we were there and went and got to have some Bible studies with some people in their homes. And that was a great experience, as always. There were several work projects that the church had there for us that we were able to participate in, and several of the men did just a great, great job taking care of some of those work projects. But one of the really neat things that we got to do, and you'll see some of these pictures scroll through, one of the really neat things that we got to do while we were there, we actually got to go into some of the schools that were there. Even though it was summer for us, it was winter for them, so they were all in school. And so we went into three different schools while we were there. I must put some funny pictures up here. I see everybody like laughing in front of me. But we had three different schools with the opportunity to go into. And each and every time we went in, we got to literally go into the classrooms and to teach. And it was kind of neat because some of the girls were able to put together some classes and do some VBS type things in some of the classes with the smaller kids, and they really enjoyed that. But we also got to spend some time with high school kids, middle school and high school kids. And it's kind of neat to think, you know, in our country it's unheard of to think that we could go into a school and that a teacher would give us an hour of their class time to just sit down and teach the gospel, but that's what they did there. And so we had several of our young men that would go into the class and they would simply just teach the gospel message. And I think about how intimidating that is. I don't know about you, but if I were to sit here tonight and just say, hey, how many of you guys could stay after and have a Bible study with someone? That may be intimidating for us to think about. But we also have to acknowledge Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I just want to read that real quick. Jesus says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." And we have that commandment and we know it's something we need to be doing. But for all of us, if we're not studying with people and sitting down and having Bible studies with people, there may be obstacles in our way. And so as we talk to some of these young men about going and actually teaching the gospel message, several of them relayed some of their fears and things of that nature and how intimidating that can be. And so we took some time a month before we went on the trip, and we just sat down and we studied with all the kids and all the adults that were going. So this is what we're going to be teaching. And there were a couple things I took away from that I just want to share. The first thing is, if you've never heard the gospel, you may be surprised at how simple the gospel message really is. And the second thing that I really took away from it was, if you've never studied with someone, you may be surprised at just how easy it is. But part of that is having a plan, a study plan. And so as we sat down with these young men, we basically gave them a study plan. We went over it with them, and they were equipped to go into these classes and teach the gospel. So tonight, our goal is just for them to simply teach the gospel. So we've got three of our young men, Braden Staggs, Garrett Lund, and Peyton Staggs, who are going to come up, and they're going to share. We basically broke it up into four different sections that we taught. And so we have those three guys, and like I said, Jonathan will come, and he will conclude that for us. But they're going to come tonight, and they're going to teach exactly what they taught while we were in Peru. And there are two things that I want us here to get from that. There may be some of us in the audience tonight who haven't heard the gospel message, and so you're going to get to hear that tonight. But the really interesting thing, not just encourage you to go on a mission trip or do something of that nature, but just think about right here in Colombia, if you're not sitting down having Bible studies with people, it may be easier than you think. We have resources available. If you're one of those people that say, you know, I really want to study with people, but I'm just a little intimidated to sit down and do that, we have resources available, just like we've given these young men, that may help you in that process. And so take advantage of that. Let us know. But hopefully you will get something out of this tonight and see the courage that these young men have to go to Peru, use a translator, and teach the gospel message to people who are their age. And I couldn't be more proud of these guys. I don't want to take up any more of their time. I think Braden Stack is going to be the first guy to come and kick us off.
I'm very thankful for the opportunity I have to be able to get up here tonight and be able to talk to y'all. My topic is lost. Have you ever been lost, had that feeling where you just don't know where you are and you don't know where you need to go? It's a feeling we've almost all had, and it's pretty common, but nowadays it's much easier to get out of that situation. Now we have GPS, so we can just click a button and the GPS shows us where we are and where we need to go. Used to, you'd have to get out a big map, you'd have to find where you were, and you'd have to try to navigate your way out. But like we can get lost in our physical life, we can also get lost in our spiritual life. Many things are constantly trying to pull us off of our spiritual path, the path we're taking in life, and they're trying to put us on a different path. There's all kinds of sins, all kinds of temptations that want to get us away from that path. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is a lamp to our feet. It shows us where we stand. It shows us where we are in our walk. And it's also a light to our path. It shows us the path we need to take. It lights our path so that we know where to go. And in John 17:17, it says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." So we know that when we're reading God's word, everything we read is going to be true. We can't just pick and choose certain things to be our map. We have to choose. We have to read everything and take everything as our map. We have to use it all to try to get to heaven. But if we do follow the map that the Bible lays out for us, our destination is heaven. If we keep following it and if we stay on our path, if we pay attention to what the Bible tells to us, to where it says to go, then our ultimate destination is going to be heaven. Thank you.
See, the Bible is our North Star. It's a truth-telling map that shows us where we are, where we want to go, and how to get there. Have you ever looked at one of those big maps in the mall? It shows us where we are, it says, "You are here," and it has a star right there. See, one of the most amazing qualities of the Word of God is the ability to function as a mirror, showing all the people exactly who we are. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped, and for every good work." See, the word of God is used for making corrections in our everyday lives. In James 1:23-25, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets who is like. But one who looks at the perfect law and the law of liberty and preserves and not being hearer forgets, but doer of acts, he will be blessed in his doing." See, on a raise of hands, who looked in a mirror today? Everybody looked in a mirror whenever they got out of bed. See, how much sense would it make if we rolled out of bed, didn't change anything, how we looked or anything, just rolled out of bed, got our clothes on, came to church? See, our hair would be messed up, might have a few pimples or something on your face. I mean, you just got to make adjustments in your life. See, but what's even crazier is that the fact that we can look into the Word of God like a mirror. It's the fact that the Word of God is a mirror that looks into us. In Hebrews 4:12-13, it says, For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit of joints and a marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him who has given the account. See, what makes the Word of God more powerful than any sword is that you can hold it in your hand and see its ability to reach the place that no sword can reach, and that's the soul. The Word of God touches and it looks deeply back into our hearts, judging our every thoughts and intentions. See, it's awesome to consider the fact that no matter where we are and on our journey, God knows exactly who we are, exactly where we are, and exactly what we need. See, it goes back to Hebrews 4:13. Here are three things that everyone should know, that you are here and a star has a common no matter where you are in your journey. See, whenever we were in Peru, we were able to go into classrooms and ask the kids, like, what's a sin? And they answered us, and it's like, we were able to tell them that we all sin in our daily lives, and that sin is bad news. See, sin is lawlessness. It happens whenever we go beyond God's law, and that everybody should know that we all sin. It says, Romans 3:23 says, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. See, from the nicest person to the meanest person in the world, everybody in between, we all have to deal with the very same problem, and that's sin. See, if everybody sins, then why is it such a big deal, you might ask? In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have made such a separation between you and God, but your sins have hidden your face from, so that He does not hear. And also Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Have you ever heard of a wage, maybe like a minimum wage, how you get paid? It's like that the word of the payment is what you deserve. Say you work $10 and you get $10 an hour. It means that you deserve to be paid $10 for every hour you work. All right, so there's a lot of bad news so far. We all have sin. Sin separates us from God. The payment we deserve is death. But now for the good news, that's the gospel. See, a lot of the kids in Peru didn't know what the gospel was, and we were able to teach them that. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, it says, now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel. I preach to you which you received, in which you stand, and why you stand by being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as first importance of I also received, that Christ died for our sins, and in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. See, the wages of sin is death, but Christ went to the cross and paid that price for us. He came to die and be buried, but He didn't just come to die and be buried, because a lot of people die and everybody's usually buried. He came not to give us the wage of sin that we deserve, but to give us a gift that we don't deserve. And that's eternal life.
All right, so Braden told us that without God and without our Savior Jesus Christ, that we are lost in this world. And then Garrett came up and said, and I mean, kind of told us where we are now and told us like where we are in this world. Now, the lesson that I'm going to be giving is one simple question, and that is this: where do you want to go? I'm going to read from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, and that says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. All right, so there's two gates, the wide and the narrow. The wide, it says, many will go down, but this way leads to destruction. And it says the narrow, not many will find, because the way is hard. But that way leads to life. And the choices that you make determine where you will go. If you make the right choices and the right decisions, you will go down the narrow path and enter the narrow gate. But if you make the wrong decisions, you'll enter into the wide gate into destruction. Now, if I was reading to someone from the book that we've been reading out of, I would ask them to put an X beside the place they want to go, if they want to go to heaven or if they want to go to hell. Now, naturally, not many people would put that they want to go to hell, and that's for a reason. It's not a very good place to go. It's not somewhere that we desire to be. But yet, so many people will walk down that path that will lead them to that if they've not been told the right way. And yet, someone has to always tell you the right way and tell you what you need to do to find Jesus. And after that, we must make the decision to follow him and to walk down the right path. And we must make the decision for ourselves. And this like marking the X in the spot kind of solidifies that we have to make the decision ourselves. So I have to ask you, where would you want your X to be? I think we all know the answer to that. It's mostly a hypothetical question. But when we think about that, we need to remember that we have to make the decision to do the things that will bring us down that path and not just say that we'd like to go there. In John 14, verses 3 and 6, it says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is from heaven, and he built the way there. And he is the only one that can take us there to where our Father is, who we should long to be with. And so we must do whatever it takes to connect with him. And what it takes is to follow his commandments and to do what he said to us and to love him and to want to do these things. And so that way we can walk down the narrow path and be able to bring others there with us and to tell other people about the gospel this way.
Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I've been asked several times in the last month about, you know, how was your trip to Peru? And I've been given the same answer each time, which is that, you know, there's always the normal reports that we can give about what we did and about the results. But I've been telling folks, I think it was really one of the most rewarding trips we've ever had for us. And it's because of what you've been getting to see tonight. Before we left, we had a few weeks where preparation classes where Chris was teaching all the young people how to teach others. And that's something we haven't done before. And I thought it was just incredible that everybody that was on this trip was able to share their faith. Sounds simple, but that's a huge task that very rarely do we go on a trip anywhere where we could say every single person here is capable of sharing their faith. But that's what we were able to do. You know, I've asked it before, or I've said it before, and I know I've heard others here say things like, well, I'm just not able to teach others. Well, I wonder, maybe a question for you tonight might need to be, are you willing to work on it? You know, if it took these guys just a few weeks, would you be willing to give a month's worth of Wednesday nights to come to a Bible class and learn how to teach others? Maybe also we're thinking next year to have a really great opportunity for folks here to do that. You may have come in the side entrance over here, and Chad, he's got all these computer skills, so he's put this really great-looking poster up that says BIG, and it says June 23rd. 2016. You know, a lot of times we also may say things like, well, I just can't go overseas. I'm not able to. Or maybe we may just have strong feelings about, well, we need to do a little more here at home locally. And all of those are valid. So what we're thinking is, when we think about our mission points here at Graymere, Columbia, Tennessee is a mission point as well. And it's a mission point that we need to be heavily involved in. So we're thinking next year we want to do a mission trip here, and we want to do it big and to do it right. And I think it would be amazing if we had 600 people here this morning, if we had 600 people volunteering to go on a mission trip to Columbia, Tennessee next year. And if you're willing to work at it,
we can help you to be able to teach others and to be able to make a difference in this community. You know, tonight these guys have been talking about the journey that we're all on. Man is lost, and that's because of sin. And the Bible is our roadmap that shows us where to go. We have a choice about where we want to go. Jesus is the one who can take us to heaven, which is, as Peyton said, the obvious answer of what we want. But the final question we need to ask is, well, if the Bible's our roadmap, well, what does it say about how to get there? You know, sometimes folks ask me, you know, what must I do to become a Christian? It's the most important question anybody can ask. Maybe you've been asked that before. And generally, the first response I give before I offer more words is say, well, the first Christians we read about in the Bible were made in Acts chapter 2. So read Acts chapter 2 and do what they did. And if you do that, then you'll become a Christian. So let's do that tonight and think a little bit about Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is the story about Jesus' life. He lived and he died and he rose again. And in Acts chapter 1, he ascended into heaven, but before he went, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to guide his apostles into all truth. So then in Acts chapter 2 is where we're focusing our time now. The apostles, they received the Holy Spirit, and they received this miraculous ability to speak in tongues. And it was really amazing that the purpose for them being able to speak in tongues was because Acts 2 and verse 5 says it was Pentecost. There were all these devout men and women who were present in Jerusalem. But it says there were men from every nation under heaven. So you got folks there that speak every language under heaven. And all of a sudden, here's these apostles there with the ability to communicate a message to these people in a way that they'll understand. So the people are astonished. They're amazed at what they're hearing. And they're saying, what does this mean? What we're seeing, what we're hearing. And that's an important question. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14 is where Peter sort of stands up along with the other 11. But he addresses these men and women and basically says, listen up, I'm going to tell you what it means. These amazing things that you're seeing and you're hearing. And he starts preaching to them Jesus. It's the same message that these guys have been preaching tonight. But maybe one twist on it was the fact that a lot of the very men and women that were standing there listening to it are the very ones who had put Jesus to death. And he's saying this Jesus was proved to be the Son of God because he did all of these amazing miracles. He fulfilled all of these prophecies. He's the Son of God. But he says, but at your hands you put him to death. And this Jesus is the one that Peter's preaching. This Jesus is the one that the other apostles are preaching in languages that all the people can understand. Notice Acts 2 and verse 36. He says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So you got all of these devout men and women. They spent their entire lives, their parents have been teaching them about, you know, be on the lookout for the Messiah because he's coming. Their grandparents have been telling them all these prophecies of old and be on the lookout for the one who's going to come and fulfill this. Their rabbis and their priests and all of their leaders have been teaching them to be on the lookout for this Messiah. And then the message they're hearing, which is proved by these miracles, by them speaking in other tongues, is that he came and you killed him. So verse 37 says, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to the rest of the apostles, here's a version of that most important question that someone can ask. They said, brothers, what shall we do? What must we do in order to be saved? And the answer came in verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's simple. Again, just read Acts chapter 2 and do what they did. Well, what did Peter tell them to do? He said to repent, and he said to be baptized. You know, sometimes when we study with folks, repentance is a hard thing, or repentance is a difficult term to explain or to get folks to understand, because we don't use the word repentance very often in normal conversation. You know, if Chris is walking away from me and I want you to come back, I don't say, "Hey, Chris, repent." I say, "Hey, Chris, come back for just a second." But that's what it means. We want somebody to make a turn, to make a change, and to come back. We want somebody to make a change and to start doing what's right. Peyton talked about two routes or routes. One can be the wide one that's easy, that leads to destruction. One can be the narrow one, the difficult one, that leads unto heaven. When we ask folks to repent, we're asking you to give up those things that have put you on the wide path, and to put on those things that will put you on the narrow path. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, mentioned verses 5 through 9, mentioned all of these things that put you on the wide path. And the interesting thing about this being written 2,000 years ago is that we're still struggling with the same things today. There's still folks here tonight that are struggling with some of these same things: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. And he goes on and mentions all these things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. We've got all these things that we're still struggling with today, and that things that are putting us on the wrong path. But what the gospel message is asking us to do is to repent, to make a turn, to make a change. And Paul goes on and says, put on these things, and these are the things that are going to put you on the right path. He says, I want you to put on compassionate hearts, kindness and humility and meekness and patience. Bear with one another, love one another, forgive one another. So that's what repentance is. It's put off all those old things that put us on the wrong path and put on the new things that will put us on the right path. I think every single one of us here tonight have things that we need to put off. And maybe there's some here tonight who need to put on some things. There are probably some here tonight who need to put on Jesus Christ. See, Peter also said repent, but he also said be baptized. When we are baptized, that's a symbolic action. It's a picture. We're living out a picture of Jesus' life before others. Jesus gave up His life for us on the cross, and we're giving up that old life of sin. Jesus was completely buried in the tomb, and that's why we're completely immersed or buried in water. Jesus rose up from the dead to live life anew, and that's why we rise from the water, and we've now put on Christ. We've now put on the new man and ready to walk in a different way. Paul said it in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now the result in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 was that about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. They believed that Jesus was the Christ. They understood their sin and their need to be saved, and they repented. They made a change. They made a turn from those sins. And then they put Christ on in baptism for the remission of sins. You know, there's a lot of arguments in the world about the purpose of baptism. I guess what our message is just, let's go back to the Bible and just do what it says. We don't want to argue. We just want to do what it says. And it says right there in your Bibles to repent and to be baptized. So that's the gospel message that we've proclaimed in Peru. And that's the gospel message that we're proclaiming tonight. That's the gospel message that I hope all of us will be proclaiming in Columbia, Tennessee from now and even next year in our mission trip here. But do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Do you have sin in your life? And is it a big deal? Is it something that's a burden to you, something that you want to do something about? Do you think that you need to be saved? Well, you know, the question again then is if you do need to be saved, then why not repent and be baptized tonight? Make a change in your life. But one question that we've been asking at the end of this study to everyone Is there any good reason why you shouldn't be baptized tonight? If there's someone here who needs to obey the gospel, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.